The kingdom of God. You know, I looked back on my notes and I've spoke about six times on the kingdom of God since I've been here. And I remember the very first message I spoke when I came, identity crisis is my first message I ever preached here as your pastor. And I talked about this very thing that we're talking about tonight. One of the most difficult thing as Christians in today's world is to look and see ourselves as God sees us. As again, there's so many distortions. I want to try to work through some of those distortions tonight, just in a purview of what the kingdom of God is. Just in looking back, it's probably not going to be revelatory to you. That's okay. Sometimes the basics are the most important thing that we can do. Go back and rightfully divide the word of truth. Again, look in the mirror of God's word and see who He's made us to be. How many know God never intended us to be under anybody's thumb? He never intended us to be any prisoners. He made us free. And because of that, we have a great responsibility as free people. Charles Schultz says, sometimes I lay awake at night and ask, where have I gone wrong? Then a voice says to me, this is going to take more than one night. You ever feel like that? Where did I go wrong? But God does things right, amen? And He speaks to us to do right things, and we can do that. Last week we spoke of change and how that things are changing almost daily. And we serve a God that does not change. He's always the same. Tonight we want to define, discuss, and disseminate what the kingdom of God is. So if you'll pray with me. Father, I thank You for Your kingdom tonight. Thank You, God, that Your kingdom exists for one purpose and one purpose only. It's to establish Your rule and reign on the earth. God, it's not something we're looking forward to in the sweet by and by. It's not something that we'll look forward to in heaven. It's here right now, God. You declared it so when You walked this earth, Jesus. You commanded Your disciples to preach the kingdom of God is at hand. And You did that same thing for us, God. So as we disseminate Your word tonight and talk about it, Father, may Your truth come to the top. And Father, may we with boldness and accuracy declare the kingdom of God in this hour. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good definition, of course, of the kingdom of God is the extension of God's rule or dominion in the earth and universe or the king's domain. Let me say that again. The extension of God's rule or dominion in the earth. And whether we want to admit it or not, God's rule and reign and dominion comes through little old us. God didn't establish a kingdom somewhere where you could go and get stuff from a ethereal, spiritual place. He works the kingdom of God through flesh and blood people just like you and me. Webster's dictionary says an area or sphere in which one has a preeminent position. And then another meaning is the purpose and the will of God. The kingdom of God is the purpose and His will. For the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17 says, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we know we're walking in the kingdom of God when we have righteousness that's been imparted to us. Listen very carefully, you mature Christians. Righteousness that's been imparted to us. I'm not righteous because of what I did or didn't do. I'm righteous because of Jesus Christ. And then peace I leave with you. Mick and I were talking about this yesterday. Peace I leave with you, not as the world do I leave you. I leave you the peace that passes all understanding, the other scripture says. And so the kingdom of God is what? It's righteousness which comes from God, peace which comes from God, and joy inexpressible, the scripture says, and full of glory. And so what is the kingdom of God? It's us being full of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And all things come out of that. The kingdom of God, it is a theocracy. It's God ruled. It is a present reality. This kingdom that we walk in, again, it's not for another time. It's not for another time. It's for now. Not for another people. It's us. Christian faith affirms that all of history moves to a definite end or goal. We sometimes think that we're just reliving the past. Well, this thing will come around again. It'll come around. It's like going around a mountain. It's not a series of endless cycles. The kingdom of God has a beginning and it has an end. God's point and purpose is to bring this thing to a culmination. For His Son to come back for His bride, by the way, we talked last week, without spot, without blemish. So He's coming back for a victorious church. How many know I want to be part of that victorious church? In Genesis 1:1, says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then Revelation 21:1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So He starts with one and He ends with the other. There's going to be an end to this world that we live in, and then the eternal existence with God. But until then, God has a plan. He's not going around in circles. He's not pining for the old days. He's going on a straight linear line. He started with the creation of Adam and Eve. They fell. He said, I'm going to send one who will bruise the head of you, devil. You'll bruise his heel. He'll bruise your head. I'm going to establish my kingdom. And He started on that linear line, and it's coming to an end. Amen. This kingdom that we live in is coming to an end. And while we're here, our definite plan, our goal is to carry on the rule and the dominion of Jesus Christ. He lives in us. We are supposed to rule and have dominion. Nowhere in the Word can I find where we're supposed to be under anybody else's thumb, where we're supposed to be silenced by anybody. That does not work in the kingdom of God. God never told people to go live among the people of the earth and keep your mouth shut till I tell you to speak. No, you have to hear to keep your mouth shut. God says, go and make disciples. Go and preach my word. He told the disciples when they first went out, tell them the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's a present reality, not a future promise. We rule and reign in Christ in this present world. Nobody has dominion over me but Jesus. I'm not given to governments. I'm not given to people. I'm given to God. Now, that doesn't mean I don't submit. That doesn't mean I'm not serving. That doesn't mean any of that. But my dominion is because of Christ. And this thing about the church being anything else than what it is, let's just go over what the church is. Number one, the church is Abraham's seed. I get it that we're looking at Israel and we want Israel to... Israel is a timepiece for the world. But the church is spiritual Israel. Abraham's seed, Ephesians 2:11, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by which is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Verse 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now we're part of Israel, spiritual Israel, Galatians 6. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. We are the Israel, the spiritual Israel of the Word. We represent God. We're part of Abraham's seed. When we speak, God acts. How many know you have an in with heaven when you speak? You're not begging something. Well, we need to change the way we talk to our Father. Our Father, when we talk to Him, we know that God's going to back us up when we speak in His stead. When we say, when we bind the enemy's bound. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever loosen on earth is loosed in heaven. We don't need to be convinced of that or go remind God of that. God, if you don't mind, you said you'd bind this, and if you would please bind this. No. Now we're begging God for something we already have. We bind, it's bound. We loose, it's loosed. We ought to act like it. Come on, someone. We're also called the circumcision. Yes, we are called the circumcision. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We're the holy nation. We're the new Jerusalem. You can look at all those scriptures. We are God's representative on the earth. We're spiritual Israel. I get it that we should watch Israel, but that's not the definitive way that God is moving. God's presence is here. He's not coming. He's here. All of a sudden, when Israel starts getting saved, is that going to mean everybody? No. God is no less powerful now than He, or more powerful than He ever will be. He's powerful. And He's given us His name. You know something I learned about the devil? The devil doesn't care what you believe as long as it's in the future. The devil doesn't give a care what you believe as long as it's in the future. Devil, someday you're going to get yours. What kind of a threat is that? Even the devil knows he's going to get it someday. No, if he messes with me, he's getting it today. Come on, somebody. And matter of fact, if the devil messes with me, he already got it. All I'm doing is reminding him. Because my Lord made a shame of him openly on the cross. He withdrew all the weapons from the enemy, so he has no authority at all. He's not going to get it or will get it. He already got it. Come on, someone. We create, you've heard me say this a lot of times, but we create battlefields that we don't have any business being on. We invite the devil, and he's a time waster, man. If he can get us to waste time fighting a battle that's already been won, so much the better. Christ already won all these things for us. Well, it's enacting our faith to believe that and walk in the finished works of the cross. Mark 1:15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. See, the kingdom of God the kingdom of heaven is mentioned many times. It reveals where it's from. It's from heaven. But the kingdom of God reveals who runs it. The kingdom of God is at hand, meaning it's right here. Some of the other versions, Goodspeed says the reign of God is near. Woist commentary says the kingdom of God is drawn near and is imminent. Beck says God's kingdom is here, and the Phillips translation says the kingdom of God has arrived. It's not something that's going to be built in the future. It's not a prefab kingdom. Are you listening to me? It's not something that's been built in heaven that the angels are going to bring one day and all of a sudden construct. The kingdom of God is being built since Jesus declared it when He came back in power, filled with the Holy Spirit. He came back and He began to preach what? The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here, is what He was saying. It's not something that He said it's going to happen. It's here. And it's been here ever since. And it's been here in its full force since Jesus declared it. It's not something that's on gradual gradient thing that gets stronger as the years go by. As a matter of fact, it's gotten weaker in this nation because we believed the lie and looked in the distorted mirrors instead of the mirror of the Word. Come on, someone. It's time for us to enact what the kingdom of God is. Question, of course, bears the question, has it arrived in your life? Is the kingdom of God operative in your life, in your home? Is it operative in our church? Are we seeing the fruit? Matthew 7:20 says, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. And it's a good time to sit down and go through inventory. What's my life reflecting of the kingdom of God? Am I walking in victory? Am I walking in health? Am I walking in wisdom? Am I walking in the things that are promised of God? The Word of God says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you walking in the Spirit? Or are you walking according to the Word of God? By the power of the Spirit, I trust that we are. And again, the kingdom is available to you, Roman numeral 2. Jesus told everyone, even before, when John the Baptist was preaching in Matthew 3:2, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He sent the apostles out, and here's what he said to them in Matthew 10. Matter of fact, turn there with me, Matthew 10. I just took some of the verses, but it's rather, we'll read it in context here. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who it is that's worthy and stay there until you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Do you realize the authority that God was giving the disciples? They were blessing and condemning cities. And we're afraid the man's going to come tell us to move our car to Bible study. I mean, come on. How far have we fallen as believers? We rule and reign with Christ. God gave the first 12 men he sent out. Jesus gave authority. The kingdom of, he said, go and preach the kingdom of heaven as an. In Luke 10, and when he sent the 70, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. We keep apologizing ourselves into ineptitude. We apologize ourselves into non-functioning Christianity, where it becomes theory and not reality. Come on, somebody. Let's talk tonight. We have the authority in Jesus' name. There's no greater authority than Jesus. Am I right? Amen. So whenever we rebuke a city, it's rebuked. Whenever we stand against sin, it's stood against. When we bind, it's bound. When we loose, it's loosed. No less than what he told the disciples to do. But we have bought another gospel. We've looked in the distorted mirror long enough, we think that we don't have the right. We have the right to speak the word of God. And notwithstanding we love, we serve, I get all that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But what I'm saying is Jesus sent them out with very definitive things. The first people he sent out to establish his kingdom. When he said the kingdom of God is here, it's at hand, it's there. And he told them, go preach the same thing. He told all of them. Go preach the kingdom of God. There must have been a reason why he said the same phrase. Because when we say the kingdom of God, we preach a lot about, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him. But the gospel is much more than that. It's about his rule and dominion. God rescued us out of darkness. But what's it say? He delivered us out of the domain of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of light. Took us out of one kingdom and put us in another. We'll talk about that in a minute. What happened to us when we got saved? What was it that God saw in us to leave us here? I've often said it, but if we don't have a purpose, take us to heaven. I don't know what we're doing here. Just wasted space. And if we're not going to do anything, let's just, you know, it would be better, more streamlined if heaven would just say, okay, you're saved, come to heaven. Go up front, say a prayer, caskets are waiting in the back, they bury you and you're in heaven. It'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't have to worry about temptation. Wouldn't have to worry about tithing. Wouldn't have to worry about anything. Lord, come into my heart. In Jesus' name, boom, you're in heaven. He left us here for a purpose and a reason. What? To establish his kingdom here on this earth. Colossians chapter 1. Turn there with me. I'm going to read from the Amplified version. So turn the volume up. Just kidding. Colossians 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified, say qualified. Qualified, has qualified. What's that mean? He has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. Wait a minute. What do you mean out of the control and the dominion of darkness? I feel like the enemy's trouncing on me every day. I mean, I just read over here in this book that says I'm fighting this battle and the enemy's attacking me every day. No, God has delivered me from the control and the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, where there is no attacks. You're not listening to me. We fight battles that are already won. The attack we're after is the souls of the lost. If we are attacked, resist the devil and he'll flee. Watch what it says again. Verse 13, the Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He does not have any authority over me. The devil does not have any authority over me. And that's what he tries to do. He comes and he speaks and he screams and he gives us bad thoughts, everything. He tries to get us to speak out of our mouth what he's saying. And as soon as we do that, now we're subject to the attacks of the enemy. As soon as we do that, man, I'm glad I'm not double jointed. I kick myself in the hind end every day doing it. Because the enemy will try, because we look in the distorted mirror and we say, well, this is what I have to succumb to. And we open our mouth. How many of you feel like sometimes you open your mouth, both your feet are stuck in it? You say something you'd rather not have said. That takes a leap of faith because God has delivered us from that darkness. Right there it says, He's translated us from the darkness into the light. Out of, Amplified says, out of the control and the dominion of darkness. That means there's no shadow, there's no darkness, there's no, we have the victory. Man, the more I'm enacting this in my life, I'm finding that the enemy will come and try to tell me something. And if the enemy tries 9 different ways to get in my head and have me speak it, but he has no authority in Jesus' name. Our inheritance is light. Our inheritance is understanding. Turn over to Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And again, I'll read from the Amplified. I found this very interesting in the Amplified. And you, verse 1, He made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. Verse 2 says, in which at one time you walked habitually. Say one time. I walked habitually in sin. Say this, no more. Watch what it says. You were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Verse 3 says, among these, we as well as you once live and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of His indignation like the rest of mankind. That's what we used to be. We are not anymore. We're victorious. God has translated us from that heinous place that we were and brought us into the light. And then to add blessing upon blessing, He says, not only have I delivered you into the kingdom of light, I've given you the responsibility to extend this kingdom. The heavens belong to the Lord, the scriptures say, the earth He gave to men. Are you listening? We're the dominion on the earth. Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we speak, things change. Wow. Man, we'll change governments this way. Change the very fabric of earth. If we could ever get a hold of this thing. Usually when we hear people preaching this and they get attacked all kinds of ways by the church. Because the church wants to believe that we're not the church, the real church, but the religious churches of today want people to believe that we're fighting these fights and under attack and always being attacked. No, we're victorious in Jesus' name. Two things happened to us in this kingdom. One, we were brought out. Again, no longer does the devil have dominion over our lives. He has stripped us. He is stripped of power. Colossians 2:15 says, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in Him and in it, the cross. Now, I want you to know something. That wasn't just an historical fact. It is an eternal truth. It's not just an historical fact. Jesus didn't hang on the cross and bind the enemy and say, for the next 30 days, you got to stand in the corner. He made a shame of them openly, eternally. And whenever we get attacked by the enemy, that's exactly what we tell the enemy. Because he's got bad memories. He can't remember very well. So we got to remind him, my God made a shame of you openly on the cross. He triumphantly over you. He took all your weapons. You have no weapons to attack me. Be gone in Jesus' name. And you know what happens? He's gone. Sure doesn't seem like it sometimes. Because he keeps coming back, gnawing at our ear. But there's where we stand on God's word. Watch Hebrews 2:14 says, since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood and the physical nature of human beings, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is the devil. What's it say? He brought him to naught and made no effect. And to hear people, I mean, I get it. I know the enemy attacks. I'm not trying to make this shiny and but it's sometimes it's warfare. But our warfare ends when we come against the devil, resist the devil, and he'll flee. This days and days of fighting the devil and all of that, that's, come on, somebody. We have the authority. We need to act like we have the authority. 1 John 3:8 says, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. That's what he came for. That's what he came for, to put an end to the rule of the devil. Where the devil's rule, there is no authority. Devils, you've heard me say it a million times, I'll say it a million times more. The devil is a legal expert. When we say things to give him a road in, he'll come in. He'll do it every time. He's looking to make us lame and unproductive in this place. And he's done a pretty good job of it this last years of the church. But there's a change happening. There's a reformation happening. I see the church getting angry again at the right things. Church beginning to turn the corner and say, we're just not going to put up with it anymore. We're just not going to do it anymore. And it's heightened. It's especially with some of the things that's going on newscasts and everything. You could see it. You could see it in the, it's kind of sticking its head out, the tip of the iceberg. Underneath, there's a great battle going on between the angelic hosts and the demons. And I wouldn't rather be living in any other time. I can't wait to see the fall of some of these mountains that have taken over, especially in our nation. And they're coming very quickly. We were brought in. Not only were we brought out of all this mess, but we were brought in. We are partakers of the inheritance. We are both purchased and purposed. We're purchased by the blood of Christ and we're set with a purpose. Two roles of Christ that we benefit from. One is overused and the other seldom touched. Number one, he is our priest. Thank God he's our priest. We could go to him for all of our needs. He shows us the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the blessings of God, the grace of God. Jesus intercedes, forgives, and makes sure of our good standing. He provides all that we need. Aren't you glad? 2 Peter 1:3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Woo-hoo. I like it. As his divine power has given, past tense, to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Reading it in the Amplified, verse 3 and 4 of 2 Peter 1, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence or virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. That's a mouthful. He has given us the right to become partakers of the divine nature. My friend, you and I, there's a great expectation in heaven for us. We live this long. Most of us, I'm looking at people that have been walking with the Lord a long time. We ought to know. And we ought to move like we know. The younger generation is looking for us. New birth is wonderful and transforms us. It's time we moved on, obey the King. We need to put our big boy pants on. Take the training wheels off. And begin to enact the Word of God like we were intended to. In every quadrant, in every corner. Basic principles have become the difficult. Because we want the priest to be our servant and do these things for us. Listen to what the Word of God says that basic principles are. These are just basic things that we should be walking in. Number one, repentance and baptism in His name. The argument is null and void that says anybody can be saved. They don't have to accept Christ. The teaching is so prolific now, it sickens me to listen to it. It's all over the body of Christ right now. There's, you know, the dual covenant. Jews don't need to be saved. They just need to, you know, they just need to believe the Old Testament and God will give them a side door in heaven. You don't necessarily have to pray the prayer to be born again. You don't have to accept Jesus. That's a wonderful teaching right now in the body of Christ. It's false. The basic premise of the Word says we need to be born again. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's the old story. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Basic Christianity. Secondly, this is basic principles. Secondly, signs and wonders in His name. We shouldn't get all... you know, we shouldn't get all upset or so excited that we believe our way out of signs and wonders. Signs and wonders should be the norm in the church. It should be the norm in the church. Not the, you know, well, let's have a healing weekend. It should be the norm. Somebody comes in sick, they should leave well. Come on, somebody. But we're trying to climb back because we're walking in this hall of mirrors and we see things the way that the world sees them, and they've talked to us about us being a dead religion and it's not true anymore and God's not moving. Let me tell you, God's moving just as powerfully now as He ever has. Signs and wonders in His name. Mark 16:17 says, these signs will follow those who believe until the year 2010. These signs will follow those who believe in the first century. That's in an earlier version. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. I'm tired of explaining to people about baptism in the Spirit. And that's normal. It's normal Christianity. I get somebody saved, I want them baptized in the Holy Ghost. Quick. Basic Christianity. Basic principles of Christianity. Casting out devils in His name. We have authority over the demons. It's sad to see a Christian bound with a demon. They either told it's not a demon or they're like the demon. Cast it out. Luke 10. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. These are teenagers. It came back in the power of God. Said, even the demons are subject to your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all, A-L-L, the power of the enemy. The enemy has nothing in me. He has nothing in the church. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. You know what nothing means in the Greek? Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say, well, I've been beat up. Well, I'm not talking about that. Where did we ever get the idea that we're going to walk through life unscathed? There's victory in Christ. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What's Jesus say to a bunch of teenagers? He says, don't rejoice if the enemy is subject to you. We let demons all over the place, on TV, all over the place. We just let, because nobody has the guts to stand and just bind them in Jesus' name. And when they do, things change. There's pockets of that being a reality right now. Down in Tampa with the River Church down there. What Lou Engel's doing with his prayer groups in various areas. Cleveland's about ready to get smacked. Cleveland's one of the highest crime rates in the nation. God told Lou Engel and Daniel Kalanda to go there and hold a rally and take authority over the city. That's exactly what they're going to do. There's prayer teams already there praying and fasting and ready to take that city in the name of Jesus. And casting out devils was part of that. Healing the sick in Jesus' name. James 5:14. Anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. No addendums to that. No explanations. Just a plain promise that we need to stand on. Have we lost ground? Yes. Can we get it back immediately? It's not a question of losing ground. It's a question of taking our rightful place. God hasn't moved. He hasn't switched the place. He said, we're seated with him. We're seated with him. He said, I've given you authority. He's given us authority. He's not going to take that away from his church. What would benefit him for taking anything away from the church for punishment? What's given can't be taken. The representative of God on this earth is the church. It's not an organization. It's not a way of thinking. It's not a way of life. It's the body of Christ. We're his representation on the earth. Basic principles we're talking about. Repentance and baptism, signs and wonders, casting out devils, healing the sick. Number 5, speak in tongues in his name. Mark 16:17. It says, again, and these signs will follow those believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Oh, you have to watch. Brother Rick, you can't pray in tongues. Why not? I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not going to shout in somebody's face in tongues. I'm going to speak in tongues every chance I get. So I realize there's power there. Because my brain sometimes ain't working. But I yield myself to the Holy Spirit and He prays through me. Speaking in tongues is the Holy Spirit praying through me. Shatakarabapataka. Hallelujah. Something is being done in the Spirit. Basic principles of the Word. Preaching and teaching in His name. It's a lost art. It's surprising how many. I read an article just recently that says almost 90% of the churches are not preaching the gospel anymore. Protestant churches. That's hard for me to believe. And when they had set them in the midst, Acts 4:7, they said, by what power, by what name have you done this? And then in verse 17, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Folks, they're doing that right now. They are doing that right now. They're pushing us out of every venue, out of government, out of schools. Thank God we live in Rochester that's still, right now in Rochester, I don't know about the surrounding towns, but in Rochester there's still some favorable things. We can actually name the name of Jesus. Pastor Brad did baccalaureate at the high school this year, and he spoke in Jesus' name, prayed in Jesus' name. And they were accepting of that. Thank God for that locally. But nationally, there's war. And it's because people have been reluctant. One thing, we'll never win the war by compromise. We'll never win the war by compromise. Doesn't mean we don't serve, but it means we speak the truth at all points. And for Pete's sakes, let's preach the word of God like it's supposed to be preached. The simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation in His name. There's no other way to get to heaven. Amen. There's no other way. You're not going to do it by good living, going to church, pay your tithes, all that. Salvation is only in Jesus' name, accepting Him. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Unless one is born again, unless one accepts Jesus Christ, they're not saved. And we do damage when we tell people, just go to church and be a good person. But that's the message that's getting out there, because that's what the area is being flooded. The United States is being flooded with that limp-wristed, namby-pamby gospel. No, it says we're to die with Christ and be risen with Christ. These are basic principles we're talking about of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is the rule of God on this earth. I go back to the statement I made, the extension of God's rule or dominion in the earth and the universe. It's the king's domain. Hallelujah. See, we accept Christ as a priest. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. He heals us. He answers our prayer. It's nice to accept Him as priest. We all want Him to be available when we're in trouble or when we're sick. But He's also king. He's also king. And kings don't mess. Some things I know about kings, they don't have Congress. They don't have a board of directors. Kings are an autocratic. It means what they say goes. Isn't that right? King of a kingdom says this is what goes. He doesn't consult with anybody. This is what I said. This is what goes. Jesus is king of the universe. He's king of kings, my Bible says, and Lord of lords. So when we need to accept that. Now that rule, now that's one thing to say, well, God, yeah, I can accept you, Jesus, as my priest and my king. Whatever you say. But now He has given us, delivered us from the domain of darkness, and given us the authority of walking in the light as priests and kings. So we pray for people, we see people healed, we minister to people, we serve people, but we also take authority over demons, over demon spirits. We take authority over sin in Jesus' name. We have to enact His kingship as well as His priesthood. I think we got the priesthood pretty well down, but the kingship we've lost somewhere. You could just see it in our society. Most of us are old enough to remember where the church was the center of activity. Somebody went to get married, they went to go to the church. You want to party, you go rent the church. You want to have somebody come in that's running for political office, they go to the church. You have trouble, you meet at the church. Voting booths used to be at the church. Church was the center of activity. Now the church is the laughing, so it's just off to the side. You know, if we need you, we'll call you. It's not done by accident. The devil is an expert at moving things a little inch by inch by inch till we're gone. I personally am tired of it. We need to get angry once again and enact the kingdom of God as kings and priests. and take authority. Those things will happen whenever we declare them. God's waiting for us. We're not waiting for Him. He's already done it. Come on, someone. We're not waiting for God. Is it time? Is revival going to be in 2018 or 2019? When are you coming back? And He says, I've already established my rule. I'm waiting for people to pick up the scepter and rule and reign with me. I've already done it. All you've got to do is enact it. Man, it's not going to happen 2 years from now. It's already happened. It's past tense. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for what You're doing in our lives. And God, what You've enacted in our lives. God, in Your purpose and Your plan, whether it be in Rochester or Wetaco or Plymouth or Washington, Lord, Your kingdom reigns on this earth. Your kingdom reigns. It's not going to reign. It reigns. And all You're looking for is people to pick up that scepter of righteousness and enact Your power on this generation. God, and I volunteer for that. God, You can hold me responsible for carrying Your scepter of righteousness. God, and all of us as Your children, as Your representatives on this earth, yea, as the ambassadors that are on this earth, let us declare Your kingdom rule and Your kingdom reign in this generation. God, what's happened in the past has happened. What happens in the future is up to You, God, right now, in this hour, in this day. Let us be ones that declare, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on this earth as it already is in heaven. Father, we thank You for Your promises that are yes and amen in Christ. We pray for each and every one. God, we continually lift up Your name. Could this be the hour? I believe it is, Father, where You're awakening the giant. You're awakening the church in this hour. We're happy to be a part of that, Father. Lord, continue to lay it on our hearts in dreams and visions. Lord, as we spend time with You, Father, we walk this thing out. Thank You, Lord, for each and every one that's here. Lord, I thank You for the authority that's in this room. Right here in this room, this little group of people. God, we can change this world that we live in. Father, as we do so and as we declare, we expect all the great things to happen. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.